WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now locked into WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Happy, happy Friday. That's right. It is Friday, March 3rd, 2017. And we've got a hot hour of sports talk in store for all of our listeners out there. Of course, you can join the convo by simply picking up that phone and dialing 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. On today's Current Sports, we will take you out to Indianapolis, Indiana, at Bankers Life Fieldhouse, where last night the Michigan State women's basketball team picked up a big win over a gritty Wisconsin team. That's right. Michigan State played in the late slate of last night's Big Ten tourney action. And get this, the Spartans will move on to play a particular in-state rival that I think you all know. So we will invite to the show in actually a few minutes here, Zachary Swiecicki, multimedia journalist at Impact Sports. Zach is out there covering the Big Ten women's basketball tourney. Zach will recap last night's game as well as give us a bit of a preview of tonight's big rivalry matchup. You don't want to miss that. We will also, of course, give you a preview of the Michigan State men's basketball game, the final regular season game for Tom Izzo's troops as the Spartans hit the road to take on the Maryland Terrapins. How does that matchup bode for the Spartans? And on the back end of the show, we'll talk about PJ Fleck, former Western Michigan University football coach, now at the University of Minnesota. PJ, under investigation for a possible recruiting violation. And like always, each and every Friday here on our airwaves, we will reflect a bit with Reflection Friday. All of that and so much more. Again, if you want to be a part of the show, simply call in 517-355-WKAR. You can also join us via Facebook.com/Current Sports, where we are currently live streaming the show, or even tweet us at WKAR_sports or at Al Martin WKAR. Well, so much to get to, so little time. Let's start this party like we always do. Here are your Current Sports quick hit headliners. All right, and we start with the Michigan State women's basketball team. Last night, the 6-seed MSU women's hoop squad took on 11-seed Wisconsin in the first game for Michigan State for the Big Ten tournament out in Indianapolis, Indiana at Bankers Life Fieldhouse. In the first meeting between the two teams, the Spartans crushed Wisconsin during a regular season 81-57. But this game was a much more competitive game, okay? At halftime, the Spartans saw themselves trailing by 7 after shooting just 37% from the field. After being down by 7, the Spartans came out in the second half calm, with a lot of energy, but still in control. Shooting 41% from the field in the second half, Wisconsin shot 37%, giving Michigan State the slight edge they needed to get a first round 70-63 dub. Next up for the Spartans, in-state rival Michigan. Tonight, 9 p.m., that game can be viewed on the Big Ten Network. Again, in just a matter of moments here, we will invite to the show Zachary Swiecicki of Impact Sports, who's out in Indy covering all things Spartan women's hoops. Zach will give us a preview of tonight's game and so much more. Don't miss that chat. Coming off a down-to-the-wire defeat at the hands of Illinois, the MSU men's basketball team looks to get back on track as they prepare to take on the Terps of Maryland on the road in the final regular season game of the year. Can you believe that, folks? This is a game that many fans have waited on all year. In the last 3 years, when it comes to basketball, Maryland has proved they belong in the Big Ten. They have a well-rounded team of youth mixed with experienced guys like Melo Trimble, DeMonte Dodd. Last year, though, get this, the Spartans topped Maryland twice, if you remember. Now, a good performance in this year's Big Ten tournament next week will certainly help the morale of the team and will all but solidify a spot in the big dance. That's right, the NCAA tourney. We will give you a preview of Michigan State and Maryland. Tip time set for 2 p.m. tomorrow. We'll give you a preview of that game in just a moment as well. The spring break for the Michigan State University baseball and softball teams will be spent enjoying beautiful weather on the diamond. For the baseball team, led by Captain Dan Durkin, they look to improve their 6-1 record as they gear to travel to South Carolina for the First Pitch Invitational. Teams included in that tournament include University of South Carolina, Furman, Clemson, Presbyterian, along with Tennessee Martin. As for the softball team, get this, the softball team has a 10-2 record. They will spend their spring break in Athens, Georgia for the Georgia Bulldog Invitational. Unlike the baseball team, softball will be partaking in a second tournament once the Georgia Bulldog Invitational is over. The Kennesaw State Owl Challenge, which is also played in Georgia, begins on March 10th. The Spartans are set to open the tourney against ETSU, that's East Tennessee State University. The Michigan State hockey team. At 7 p.m., the Spartans will travel to Columbus, Ohio to take on the Ohio State Buckeyes in their second to last series of the season before the Big Ten tournament. This has been a disappointing year for Spartan hockey fans. Currently, Michigan State has a record of just 6-21-3. The Spartans only have two conference wins so far, with Ohio State only giving up two losses at home this season. This will be a tough matchup for Tom Anastas and the Spartans. Also, last night marked the final regular season night in the state for boys high school basketball. A few scores to pass your way. East Lansing comes from behind to top Lansing Waverly. How about that? 43 wins in the last 44 games for East Lansing High School as they finish up the regular season undefeated. Congratulations to Steve Finnemore and company. Also, DeWitt over Grand Ledge, 63-48. Okemos over Corunna, 63-38. Holtz over Lansing Catholic, 63-40. So we had three winners that hit the 63-point threshold and didn't score a point over 63. Holt finishes up the year 16-4. Perry over Fowlerville, 59-53. Jackson over Jackson Lumen Christie, 70-34. Saranac over Bath, 64-44. Mason over Portland. Portland St. Pat's over Weberville. Fowler over Dansville. And Hazlitt over Ionia. And again, tonight, folks, girls high school basketball action. District final games taking place all over the state. We'll give you an update more so on that later on this hour, okay? Also want to pass along this news. Meijer, that's right, the Michigan-based grocery chain, has recently made a donation to the Detroit Police Athletic League, which also may be known as PAL League. I played PAL when I was growing up in the D. PAL is a league based in the inner city of Detroit that gives the youth a chance to play on competitive and organized teams. PAL and Meijer have plans to turn the old Tiger Stadium into what will be called the Field of Dreams. The donation is $750,000, which will restructure the entire stadium and will also seat 2,500 people and will give kids the opportunity to play baseball, football, soccer, and will even offer cheerleading. The Detroit Lions agreed to a one-year contract with longtime long snapper Don Mulbach on Thursday, keeping the 35-year-old from becoming an unrestricted free agent next week. Mulbach is entering his 14th NFL season and has been the Lions' long snapper since midway through 2004. The Lions have 19 unrestricted free agents, 2 restricted free agents, and 3 exclusive rights free agents when free agency opens next week. And also want to note that, yes, there will be 12 Detroit Tigers departing for the World Baseball Classic for this weekend. That wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. Our phone lines are open again. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Let's stop wasting time. Let's start the show.
Let me see you go back. Let me see you come back. Now let me see you go back. Let me me see you go bad. Let me see you come in. Let me see you go bad. Let me see you come in. Yeah.
It's Friday and I'm ready to swing. Pick up my girls and hit the party scene tonight. Oh, it's alright. So get up and let this funky melody.
You know, they're a high-powered offense, and last time we played them, we played great defense, and we played as a team on defensive end, and we were able to get stops and push the ball in transition, so going into tomorrow, definitely a defensive focus for us.
And last question, what will you do to rest up? Because, of course, a lot is on your shoulders.
You know, ice bath, some recovery boots, you know, just take some rest, and, you know, you kind of get used to it at this point in the season, so high motor, and I'm just excited to play again.
Well, I mean, survive in advance. Michigan's a great team. They've had an awesome season, and, you know, we just got to be ready to play them, and they'll be ready to play us. It's interesting, this rival game in the postseason, but we've been here before. Both teams have played each other, so it'll be a fun battle, and I have a lot of respect for their season and their players and their coach. Kim did a great job for them.
That's how we start this afternoon's Current Sports. Happy, happy Friday. A little Aaliyah there for you. Shout out to D-Town, Detroit Stand Up, and rest in peace to one of the, in my opinion, greatest R&B singers of all time. We miss you, Aaliyah. And I thought that song was fitting when evaluating last night's Michigan State women's basketball contest against Wisconsin, because it was a back-and-forth game throughout much of that contest, especially in the second half. I mean, in that third quarter, Michigan State came out the gates with a renewed vigor that was not present in that first half. Wisconsin actually led at the half, led after the first quarter, showing a lot of grit, a lot of grit. But then Susie Merchant challenged her team at the half, challenged the team's character. Asked the team, how bad do you want this? This is March. It's winning time. And our team responded. Fun game. I was glued to my TV watching that last night. That was fun. So the six-seed Spartans now move on to take on a certain in-state rival not too far from here in East Lansing. That's right out in Ann Arbor. The Michigan Wolverines. And shout out to Kim Barnes-Arico and the Wolverines. The Maize and Blue have had a great season. Of course, we brought to you all the news earlier this week that Kim Barnes-Arico was actually named the Big Ten's Coach of the Year for the work she's done with that squad. I mean, you talk about freshie Kaiser Gondrzik, who's had a great year. Caitlin Flaherty, who's one of the best players in the nation. That and more is what the Spartans are going to have to deal with tonight. Now, I must say, when you have a double bye in the Big Ten tourney, I mean, you may come out a bit rusty. And I do believe that contributed to Michigan State a bit last night. I mean, having to play that final game, which they do again tonight, having to wait all that time until 9 p.m., three games ahead of you, I mean, you're so anxious, you're so ready that sometimes you kind of get ahead of yourself. And I thought that's kind of what happened in that first half. But the 6-seed Michigan State Spartans were able to top 11-seed Wisconsin to move on. The starting lineup of Victoria Gaines, Taya Reimer, Brandi Agee, Taryn McCutcheon, Tori Jankowska held down the fort, I must say, but did come out a bit flat in that first quarter. How good, though, is Aviana Young? Wow, she was great last night. Really my first time getting a chance to see Young play. And you know, I did watch a bit of that first matchup between Wisconsin and Michigan State. Young was on the court, but she didn't have the type of game she had last night. She was great last night. And prior to Michigan State, of course, Wisconsin moved on after beating Rutgers in that opening round, a game in which Young had 20 points. You know, you look at the game prior to that versus Iowa. Young poured in 22 points in the regular season. Aviana Young, as a senior, she's got a bright basketball future. I really think she can play in the WNBA. She's got the size. She's competitive. I love her game. But Michigan State did slow her down, more so because she got into foul trouble as that game went along. Wisconsin, though, came out the gates confident. Led MSU 12-4 at one point. MSU began 1-8 from the floor. Wisconsin at one point had 5 assists on 5 made buckets. And then what happened? Michigan State started to wake up a bit. Wisconsin went 0-7 after starting 5-8 from the floor. And MSU was just down after 1 after the first quarter. Second quarter comes along, and what happens? Bad news bears, right? Taylor Reimer and Kennedy Johnson get into foul trouble. Those are two players that are workhorses down in the paint. They both had 2 fouls apiece, and what did Wisconsin do? No-brainer, right? Go to the paint and score. Wisconsin dominated the paint scoring in the first half. Yeah. And you looked at, you know, Kayla McMorris, who shook off a knee-to-thigh injury. She was great in that game as well. At one point, both 10 points apiece for Young and McMorris in that second quarter. And Michigan State finished the first half with 11 turnovers. Just turning the ball over left and right. And, you know, I thought they were going to finish the half with just 10. And you saw Lexi Gussert, you know, she not realizing that she still had she had more time than she thought she did. And she threw up a half-court bomb that fell into the hands of Wisconsin. And that led to the 11 turnovers instead of 10 going into halftime. Brandi Agee, though, showed a lot of grit, though. She led the scoring at the half with 9 points. And Tori Jankowska only had 7 at halftime. How about that? Tara McCutchen also had 7 at the half as well. Wisconsin closed out the first half on a 7-0 run, making 5 of its last 8 field goal attempts. But then came the second half. Third quarter. MSU focused, coming out the gates with a ton of energy. And I know you guys saw this play. Favorite. I always have a favorite play I love to rant about when it comes to a certain game. And Tori Jankowska had the play of the game for me when she had just a sick behind-the-back dribble coming off a pick, pulls up and finds nothing but the bottom of the net. Really nice play there. Jankowska, so crafty. She had 11 third-quarter points. That's when she started to wake up a bit. 11 third-quarter points. She almost outscored the entire Wisconsin team in the third quarter. 11 third quarter points for Jankowska, 13 for Wisconsin as a team. And MSU started to space the floor and started to attack the paint. And that's what led to success. That's when that game really started to change last night. It was a 54-50 lead for Michigan State after 3 stanzas. And then in the fourth quarter, Aviana Young gets a 4th personal foul. She goes to the bench. She's in tears. She's very emotional at the moment. And that's when Michigan State started to really kick it into second gear. Brandi Agee, too. I mean, did you see that tray she had off the glass? She hits a banker off the glass and just looks at her bench like, I didn't even know that was going to go in. Big shot there. And then what happens after that? Michigan State gets a stop on the other end of the floor. They go down on offensively. And Brandi Agee had a beautiful zip pass. She looked like Justin Verlander on the mound with that pass. It found the hands of Taya Reimer, and Reimer puts in the and one. And you could just really feel the game start to change then. Tori Jankowska, after, again, having just 7 points at the half, scores 15 of her 22 in the second. That is called winning basketball. She is so fun to watch. Her mother was in the crowd yet again, biting on those fingernails and watching her daughter do her thing. She is going out with a bang. And Tori, it's so fun to watch her play. You heard intermixed with that intro. Tori Jankowska commenting on now having to rest up really briefly and having to play a very fresh Michigan team that had the luxury now of having a double bye in this year's Big Ten tournament. You also heard the comments of Susie Merchant giving props to Kim Barnes-Jericho and the Michigan Wolverines for the regular season that they had. But now it's March, baby. It's winning time. In just a moment, we hope to have on line one, well, we actually have him right now, Money, Zachary Swiecicki. You guys know Zach. Of course, he was a production assistant for us last semester, did an absolutely stellar job. He has now moved on to bigger and better things with Impact Sports, and he is covering the Michigan State Women's Basketball Tournament down in Indianapolis, Indiana at Bankers Life Fieldhouse. Zach and I were exchanging texts last night watching that fun game. It was a very entertaining game last night, and we have the pleasure of welcoming Swy to the show right now. Zach, how you doing, my man?
I'm doing good, man. Thanks for having me.
Always a pleasure to talk to your brother. And, you know, you just heard my brief synopsis of the game quarter by quarter last night. I want to ask you, Zach, you know, watching the game up close and personal, you were on the sidelines covering that matchup. What was the difference in comparing the first half to that second half? Because the way Michigan State came out in that third quarter, that's not what we saw to begin the game.
No, I think that was part of it. Wisconsin played last night. They were in the flow of things. They were feeling good. They got the win. They were moving on. They came in ready to go. They wanted to get the win after they lost to Michigan State. They really got blown out 81-57 early on in the regular season. They come out. They're feeling good. But you come into the second half, Michigan State still a little bit slow in that third quarter. You mentioned Aviani Young getting in foul trouble. Another thing I noted was when Michigan State switched to the zone defense. Mm-hmm. The score at that point was 49-48, and then they went on a 7-2 run there, three empty possessions for the Badgers, and that led to two Tori Jankowska layups. And I think that honestly sealed the game. I know Aviani Young getting in the foul trouble, 54-50, but I think the game was done before that.
Yeah, and she really started to roll. Young, that is, you know, she really started to roll just, you know, from tip, it seemed like. What adjustments, other than the zone defense, Zach, are there any other adjustments that you saw to try and slow down Aviani Young throughout that game?
I mean, they tried to stop her. I mean, she just kept driving and driving, and all the bigs seemed like were in foul trouble for Michigan State at some point. Ty Reimer, Jenna Allen, Kennedy Johnson, all with three fouls. And, I mean, they tried to stop her. They forced some tougher shots. They kept their hands up in the air. But the way they started that game with Young and McMorris, both with 20 points or 20 points combined at the half, mm-hmm. Wisconsin can only keep that up for so long.
And, you know, one of my favorite moments also, Zach, of last night is the Big Ten Network had a great replay of, at one point in the second half, the ball went down to Aviana Young, you know, right on the right side of the paint. And I kid you not, Zach, and you probably noticed this too, but the entire Michigan State team, I mean, and Lisa Byington, who did play-by-play last night, did a great job. She had initially called, you know, oh, four white jerseys surround Aviana Young, but they go back to the replay, and you could see all five white jerseys for Michigan State collapsed on Aviana Young. I mean, they knew that if they did not stop her, it was going to be a long night, and I thought they did a great job of doing it as the game went on. And again, her getting four personal fouls and heading to the bench, you started to see a bit of daylight as that game went along.
Yeah, I definitely think so. But, yeah, like I said, she can only keep that up for so long. But I think that's going to be a problem. I know you're going to talk about Michigan in a little bit. I think that's going to be a problem coming up with Haley Tome down low. If they have five bodies on her, Michigan has four other shooters on the court, unlike Wisconsin does. They didn't really have that last night.
Certainly. And, yeah, we're definitely going to preview Michigan in just a moment. But, Swy, are you shocked? Were you shocked, I should say, that Tori Jankowska only had 7 points at the half? What was Wisconsin able to do?
You know, we've seen that a little bit in the second half of the season with her. You know, when the team's struggling offensively, the other four starters not necessarily have been consistent all year. Not another double-digit scorer on the team averaging. Ty Reimer and A.G. both around 9 points a game. But Tori Jankowska, 7 points in the first half. She was 3-for-6 from the field. There's just a couple of those shots that she really forced up. And Susie Merchant even said that was the first time all season that really she really kind of had to get into Tori and get in her face and say, hey, you know, you're not the only one on the team that can score.
Ah, really? So Susie thought that she was shooting too much, per se?
A little bit of that, but obviously the turnovers, McCutchen really struggled too. no assists in the first half with three turnovers. That was a big thing, too, 11 turnovers in the first half. I know you talked about that.
Mm-hmm.
Jankowska, she's the leader of this team, regardless of, you know, how she's playing. She needs to step up, and I think Susie just needed to kind of kickstart her.
How concerning are those 16 total turnovers, 11 of those coming in the first half, Zach? Because when you look at it again, this is the first game for Michigan State in the Big Ten tourney. I mean, they waited all day. I mean, I can imagine there were a lot of jitters and a lot of angst just to get that game rolling, which I think contributed to a few of those turnovers.
Yeah, I think it's very concerning. We've seen their success in the past is with 10 or less turnovers is when they really, you know, start winning, and that's when they go on those streaks that they've had throughout the season. But if you look at points off turnovers, Wisconsin only, I mean, they actually trailed Michigan State 10 to 12 in that category. So Michigan State, at least they limited that. But if you're going to play, again, a better team in Michigan tonight, I don't think they can have more than 12 turnovers if they want to have a chance.
For sure. Folks, if you're just now joining us here on WKAR's Current Sports, we are chatting with Zachary Swiecicki, multimedia journalist at Impact Sports, who is out in Indianapolis, Indiana right now covering the Michigan State women's basketball team's journey in the Big Ten tourney. All right, well, the lone meeting between Michigan State and Michigan, Zach, the lone meeting between these two during the regular season yielded an MSU win in front of a record crowd at Chrysler Center. Tori Jankowska, like you remember, Zach, had 28 points, count them, 5 3-pointers. How do you assess this matchup, and what adjustments can we expect from the Wolverines?
They're going to have to change a lot if they're going to come out like they did yesterday. We're here in Indianapolis right now. Northwestern had the big win over Iowa yesterday, and now they're playing Ohio State, a very good team. They're getting blown out 71-38 right now.
Wow.
So if Michigan State wants a chance at the upset, they better hope that, you know, Michigan comes out with that, does not come out with the kind of energy that Ohio State has right now. But Michigan, they saw the recipe to beat this Michigan State team. That's go down low and get the bigs in foul trouble for the Spartans. And Haley Tome, one of the best bigs in the conference. I think they're going to have their hands full tonight.
Yeah, for sure. And you mentioned Northwestern. I saw in that first game yesterday, Zach, that Nia Coffey had something like 34 points. Quite the contrast today, huh?
Yeah, she only had 7 points, I think, in the first half. She had 35 last night. So, it's very interesting dynamic with the double byes. And Michigan State wanted that, to have that in their control, and then they lose to Nebraska. So they put themselves in this position to have to play themselves out.
And you know what, Zach, you look at this matchup tonight between the Spartans and Wolverines, and you look at that first matchup, the lone matchup they had during the regular season. Caitlin Flaherty, who I believe is the best player on the team, I think that's the general thought. She only finished with 4 points in that game. It's safe to say that Flaherty is going to come out foaming at the mouth, right? I mean, she's going to score more than 4 points tonight.
Yeah, she was kind of dealing with a little injury there when they played in the regular season, but she was just something was off there. She was 2 of 12 from the field, 0 of 3 from 3. I think that was her lowest scoring output of the season. You look at the other three games around that Michigan State game, she had 25, 35, 22. I think she's definitely going to come out with more than 4 points tonight.
You mentioned Haley Thome again, 21 points for her in that game. She led the team in scoring. In Kaiser Gondrzik with 19, she, of course, will be in the running for Big Ten Freshman Player of the Year for sure. Does MSU move on from this one? And what kind of a game can we expect tonight?
It's going to be really tough. I don't think it's going to be like the first game at all where Michigan State really dominated from the start. Jankowski coming out hot. I don't think she tried not to miss in that first quarter against Michigan early on in the season. I think this is going to be a close game. I think Michigan's going to come out. I think they're going to come out with high intensity, high energy. Michigan State, they saw what they did wrong against Wisconsin. It's going to be tough to obviously limit Haley Tome. And then if they're going to have to double team her, she's going to be able to kick it out. They got plenty of shooters. I think Michigan's going to come away with the win in this one, but I think it's going to be very close.
Zach, of course, we talk a lot about Tori Jankowska, but other than Tori, who needs to be a consistent force tonight if MSU wants to possibly go deep in this tourney?
You got to look at Brandi Agee, of course, from last year. She was the third or fourth option in that offense. They lose, you know, three of their five starters from last year. At this point, you really can't rely on her to be one of your top scorers just because of how inconsistent she's been. I mean, last night she had 14 points. A couple big threes, especially you mentioned that three off the glass that she definitely didn't think it was going to go in. ends up going in. But I'm looking at Tyra Reimer, double-double last night, 12 points, 12 rebounds. Something that I don't think you mentioned was 18 offensive rebounds for the Spartans was the biggest chance, biggest reason they won.
Yeah.
22
yeah.
second chance points. I'm looking at Tyra Reimer in this game.
Yeah, for sure. And you know, that final play, one of the final plays, I should say, where, you know, and you, it's a good point you bring up when it comes to the offensive rebounds with Jenna Allen fighting for that loose ball. It falls in the hands of Jankowska. That really sealed the deal for Michigan State. Great effort on the boards. But, again, you look at last night, and I mentioned how, you know, Taya Reimer as well as Kennedy Johnson, especially in that second quarter, they got into early foul trouble, two fouls apiece. Those two bigs specifically can't get into early foul trouble in a game like this, can they, Zach?
I don't think so, but it looked pretty bad against Wisconsin, and they fought through it. Tyra Reimer, I think, had three at the half. Mm-hmm. She ends with three. So, I mean, she's experienced, but it's going to be tough, especially against a better Michigan team. Madrika Cook, Nia Holly, too, the freshman, also came in. Cook had 13 minutes and played at some meaningful moments in that game as well. So it's going to be an interesting game for sure.
All right, Swy, last one before we get you out of here, my friend. If the season were to end today, I believe that the Spartans are in the tourney. That's for sure, I believe. But what seed could you see this team as in the Big Dance and why?
I think they're around a 9 seed right now. I think if they win today, I think that jumps them up a solid spot or two. I think they're in the single digits, upper single digits of the seeding. But it's going to be tough. I think they have the possibility to make a run. I think they're around a 9 seed right now. Obviously, you got to look at what they lost from last year: Ariel Powers, Akiah Taylor, and Jasmine Hines, three starters that they're really the majority of their offense. Tori Jankowska, what she's been able to do this season. Very young team. I think they're around a 9 seed right now.
Okay. I predict the same thing. And, you know, I'm putting you on the spot with this question, but I know you guys are checking out the rest of the teams in the Big Ten out there in Indy. Is there any Big Ten team out there that you think is on the fringe right now with possibly making the tourney that could have a chance to do so?
On the fringe right now, Northwestern was supposed to be on the bubble right now, and they had the big win over Iowa, like I said, and they're getting blown out 80-43
right.
with a minute left in the third. So it's going to be interesting. They might be one of those last four in or out. I think Iowa's an interesting team, Indiana as well. But, yeah, the Big Ten, I think Ohio State and Maryland are going to be fun to watch, too, two of the top seeds in the country.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, yeah, Northwestern is one of those teams on my list as well. I mean, you got one of the best players in the Big Ten in Nia Coffey. You also have one of the best pickpocketers in women's college basketball history in Ashley Deary, who actually leads that program in steals. I possibly could see Northwestern squeaking in, and it'll be interesting to see what they do if they do get in. Zachary Swyzicki, again, you can read his work out in Indy covering the Big Ten tournament at Bankers Life Fieldhouse. Simply go to impact89fm.org. Any special coverage you guys have planned, Zach? Are you guys also putting out videos as well?
Yeah, we're working on videos, and we're working on previews, recaps, and maybe a few features and profiles while we're here.
Okay, love that. You can also follow Zach on Twitter at Zach Swice. That's Z-A-C-H-S-W-I-E-S. Follow him on Twitter. He does a great job. Zach, appreciate it, my man.
No problem. Have a good day, man.
You got it. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, we will shift gears and talk about the Michigan State men's basketball team. Still in the regular season, the final regular season game of the year. Tomorrow, senior day on the road at Maryland. We'll preview it. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. If you're just now joining us, shame on you. We just finished up a great chat with Zachary Swyzicki of Impact Sports. Zach, bringing us coverage from out in Indianapolis, Indiana, and Bankers Life Fieldhouse as the Michigan State women's basketball team got a big win over the Wisconsin Badgers to move on in the Big Ten tourney. Again, tonight, 9 p.m., Michigan State and Michigan. If Michigan State is able to pull out that win, whoever gets this win, that team will move on to play in the semifinals of the Big Ten tournament. And I believe they will play the winner of, and can we double check on this too, Isaac? The winner of Maryland and Minnesota, if I'm correct, off the top of the dome here. I believe that's who they will play. And that game will take place actually before the Spartans and Wolverines get it on like Donkey Kong tonight. Phone lines are open, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Before we preview tonight's, tomorrow afternoon's final regular season game for the Michigan State men's basketball team against Maryland, I want to invite to the show Isaac Constance, our fantastic engineer of the show. Isaac will be bidding us all adieu all of next week because, hey, if you forgot, Isaac is still a student here at Michigan State. And next week, everybody will be hitting up Miami and, possibly New York. Mostly warm destinations for spring break, right? Miami and L.A. I see my Snapchat's blowing up right now from former PAs who are headed out to exotic locations. And next week is spring break for the campus of Michigan State University. So Isaac will be out. Isaac, where are you going? Are you going to Mexico or Hawaii or something sexy like that?
No, man. In my time off, I got to go back home. And New Orleans, not a bad place either for spring break.
Not at all.
I love my little city of New Orleans, so I'm going to be back home.
Hey, I know you're a big NBA guy. And I want you to check out. I sat back last night at like 1 in the morning after I finished covering or watching the Michigan State women's basketball game. And, I checked out one of the latest editions of Sports Illustrated. And you see who's on the cover, right? James Harden, Houston Rockets. He's in the MVP, in the race for MVP this year, right?
Should get it.
Dude, you got to check out this article. Written by the great Lee Jenkins of SI. He does a great job of profiling a different side of James Harden that I really didn't know about. This isn't just about basketball. The title of the article is, quote, "His life is simple, his game is sublime." And Lee follows James from, the stint that he had with Dwight Howard. It profiles that drama, that locker room drama firsthand, and talks about how the two just didn't want to talk to each other, but both are trying to be non-confrontational. And it talks about how they would walk to the locker room and would not even address their problems, would just stay silent about it.
Huh.
It profiles that drama. Then it even goes into his dating life with Khloe Kardashian and that big drama and how...
Heard about that.
Yeah, Khloe was dating, was coming off a relationship with Lamar Odom, and Lamar goes to, I believe it was like a brothel, right?
Yep.
And he gets sick and Harden's still dating her, but Khloe's going out and doing that thing, and James is just basically testing his fame by dating Khloe Kardashian. Then it goes into how James just this season has blocked out all the distractions and how it's just solely about basketball. It is a great article. And one of the quotes coming from Patrick Beverly in the article, which I thought was really cool. In the article, it says, quote, "He's got the money, the cars, the fame. He's done all of that. It can just be about winning now." And then it starts to go into talk about how Harden just dedicated himself to the game and his workout regimen. I don't know if you noticed, but he actually went out to Phoenix, Arizona, and went out to Arizona State University all summer. And yep, it was just nonstop training 24/7. And I don't want to ruin it. It's a really cool story in here that really, I have a newfound respect for James Harden. So check it out.
James was the number 3 pick in the draft, but he was in many ways a silent name coming out of college. Nobody really knew who he was. He went to ASU, of course, came out, went to the Thunder, played third fiddle to Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant. And Harden's somebody for me who I always hypothesize that maybe he's got this inferiority complex. And that's not to say it's a bad thing, but he's somebody who had to go out and get his money, get the respect from the league that he thought he deserved and was honestly long lost when he was playing with the Thunder. If he stayed there, no doubt that team wins a championship, but he really wanted to go out, carve his own path, make his own way in the NBA. He absolutely has done that, and I can't wait to read that piece. I've been meaning to, in fact.
You'll love it. Lee Jenkins does a great job. And, you know, you mentioned being third fiddle, playing third fiddle to, you know, to Durant and Westbrook out in OKC. And then all of a sudden he goes to Houston and he becomes the guy. And that fame happened so quick. And it just kind of profiles how there was a moment where he's coming off the plane and he's just like, whoa, who the heck am I? It's just read it.
Yeah.
Just read it. Great
Will
article.
Do.
Great job from Lee Jenkins. I wanted to give him a shout out on that. All right, folks, let's talk MSU men's basketball now. The Spartans will wrap up the regular season tomorrow afternoon, 2 p.m. against Mello Trimble and Company on senior night, playing the Maryland Terrapins. That's right. If you remember last year, Michigan State topped Maryland twice last year. It will be senior day for Damonte Dodd. And also LG Gill at the Xfinity Center. And, you know, you look at this matchup. You know, it's going to be an interesting one because Michigan State is coming off a loss to Illinois on the road. This, again, is another tough road contest against a pretty good Maryland team that is already in the NCAA tourney. Many people feel like Michigan State still needs at least one more win to solidify itself in the Big Dance. This is going to be an intriguing game in multiple areas because, you know, you look at it and Michigan State, I do believe, needs at least, I'm one of those guys that does believe that Michigan State needs at least one more win to firmly etch itself in the conversation for the Big Dance. 18-12, 10-7 in the Big Ten. You know, we all know Miles Bridges right now, my goodness, currently leading the team, and get this, points, rebounds, blocks, three-pointers, and minutes. He's Michigan State's Mr. Do-It-All. He's averaging 17 points, 8 boards, 2 assists per game, shooting 41% from the three. We all know what he's going to bring to the table to this game tomorrow. Nick Ward, if he stays out of early foul trouble, that's one of the bugaboos for Nick Ward. But, you know, he's fresh off a week where he won Big Ten Player of the Year and had Freshman of the Week honors. He actually averaged nearly 22 points a game and 9 rebounds on 68% shooting from the field in his 2 games against Nebraska and Wisconsin. And for the year, Ward is averaging 13.6 boards in just under 20 minutes per game. Just imagine if he isn't in foul trouble. My goodness. And also another player I'll be watching, and I love watching this young man play, Cassius Winston, who is getting better and better each and every game he plays. And, you know, despite his role coming off the bench, which, you know, that's another intriguing question. You know, I posed at the beginning of the week whether or not, you know, Alvin Ellis should continue to be in the starting lineup. But, you know, Tum Tum is still starting right now. And Cassius is still coming off the bench. And but despite that role, you know, Winston is easily Michigan State's best passer. You know, and especially with the injury to Aaron Harris, Winston is the Spartans' now third leading scorer at 7 points per game, but he makes his living with over 5 assists per game, which leads the team by nearly 2 assists. So that's a lot. So, you know, Cassius is such a dynamic player. He's so good. He does have his mess-ups from time to time in the Illinois game. You saw a few bad turnovers here and there. But I do believe that, you know, maybe it's a catch-22. I want to pose this question to you, Isaac, because he's so good and his numbers are so good when he's in. I think the offense runs more fluidly when he is in the game. But I do like the energy that he brings coming off that bench. You know what I mean? And Tum is one of those guys, he's not going to score. But, you know, Tum is a guy who is a great defender. And, you know, once in a while, he can find somebody down low, Miles down low or Ward down low for a nice bucket. Once in a while, he can get on the break and hit you with a nice fast break layup. I kind of like the dynamic of Cash coming off and giving you moolah off the bench. I don't know.
Yeah, I agree entirely with you. I think as long as a player's morale allows them to take that subsidiary role, you stick them in there. You keep them on the bench. Because the thing is, let's face it, if you're going into war and you got 2 pistols, now, both those pistols, you might want to fire them at the same time. You get tons of firepower. But the thing is, it makes a lot more sense if you can conserve the bullets from one. That's what MSU is doing when they keep Cassius Winston on the bench. They keep that facilitator in the lineup who has the offense run through him. I mentioned that last game for MSU, they looked stagnant at times. They had 9 assists as a team. That will never, ever, ever get the job done at the Division I level. It doesn't matter who you're playing. That does not work. The thing is, if you get Cassius and Tum Tum in the same lineup together, inevitably, there's going to be a little bit too much of the ball to go around. You know what I mean? It's just going to be Miles wants his touches. Miles wants to play point forward sometimes. And that's fine. He has the right to. But then Tum Tum wants to get the rebound, go coast to coast, take that. Cassius wants to run the offense. Josh Langford wants his. That's just too much of the ball to go around. So while guys like Kenny Goins might not pop up on the stat sheet and you might think that he's a void offensively, sometimes it helps to have somebody who doesn't need the ball in a lineup. So if you can distribute the ball needers, the ball distributors between the first and second unit, I think that's when a team functions the best.
For sure. And I totally agree with that. And I think that when Cassius comes in, I mean, he's just so assertive when it comes to the offense, and he sees it so well. But that's something to look forward to. And you know, you look at this game, Maryland, one of the best teams in the Big Ten Conference. And, you know, Michigan State has been so up and down this year. If the Spartans win here on the road at Maryland, this will look really good. And I do think will possibly improve that quote-unquote slated 9-spot seed that I'm seeing everywhere in everybody's mock NCAA bracket right now. This will be a big win if Michigan State can get it. A big thing for me, though, Michigan State can't have all the turnovers that they had in the past. I mean, especially when you look at Illinois, you know, you mentioned, again, Cassius is great. He sees the floor very well. But again, you know, he's still a freshman, and he has those times where he thinks he can force a ball through a certain hole, and it's just not there. So the Spartans' 21% turnover rate is actually 315th in the country. To make matters worse, yeah, crazy, right? To make matters worse, the Spartans' opponents' possessions only end in a turnover 16.2% of the time, of which they only force steals at a 6.6% rate of the team. How crazy is the stat?
Right? Those are good stats. And the thing is, too, when you get a steal, that allows you to catapult back onto the offensive end. That is the all-crucial points-off turnover statistic.
Yep.
When it's just somebody making a stupid play, throwing the ball out of bounds, that doesn't translate the exact same way.
Prediction. I know predictions are for idiots. I always say it. Predictions are for fools.
I keep making them, too. I always get sucked into this trap. And I'm probably right. I'm not going to lie. 50% of the time, I'm as good as a coin flip. But I'm saying that MSU actually will win this one. The last time that Maryland won a game that wasn't against Rutgers, because let's face it, we can exclude Rutgers, was February 15th. Yeah. I'm not confident in the streak of Maryland. I think MSU played a bad game, but overall is playing good basketball. I think it's the opposite for Maryland right now. The other thing about Maryland, they're not going to kill you on the glass. They're not going to kill you with their size, and that favors MSU. Although I love Mel Trimble, I'm picking MSU to win this game. I think Nick Ward probably is the reason why.
I'm going with Maryland. I'm going to go like something like 80-74. I think it'll be a close game, a fun, entertaining game. It's going to be fun to watch Melo Trimble. I think he's one of the best guards in the Big Ten, one of the best players, period, in the Big Ten Conference. And I'm getting some comments now when I mentioned, of course, it being senior day again. When you talk about a team senior day, there's going to be a lot of emotion in the building as well. Demonte Dodd and LG Gill, will be the two players that are honored before tip-off in that game. And I got a few comments saying, hey, is it Melo being honored as well? But no, a lot of people forget that Melo Trimble is just a junior. I always forget that. I think Melo is older than he is, but he's still just a junior here, Isaac. And when you look at it, though, it's going to be a lot of emotion in the building. And when you talk about senior day, Michigan State has to be ready for that. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Let's hit our second break. When we come back, we will put a bow on today's current sports. Again, we're taking your calls, and we will also reflect a bit with Reflection Friday. A ton of stories that we did not get a chance to talk about throughout the week. We'll talk about that and so much more. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. We briefly touched on this story during yesterday's show. Minnesota head football coach PJ Fleck under investigation for a potential violation of NCAA rules. Again, that was reported by Andy Pepper, sports director at WWMT-TV, Channel 3 out in Kalamazoo. And he reported that Western Michigan officials contacted Minnesota with concerns about Fleck's alleged contact with current players, current Broncos, as well as linebacker Robert Spillane, who was granted a release from the program earlier this week. The report also stated that the University of Minnesota began an investigation into the matter on Tuesday. So, as you all know, a pretty cut-and-paste rule here. NCAA rules prohibit any contact between a coach and a player from another school without prior written approval from the student-athlete's home school. I think that's an obvious rule. And, you know, this is interesting because this is the first time we've heard of P.J. Fleck in any kind of recruiting violation or going against the grain in any kind of way. Fleck, 36 years old, young coach, did a great job in 4 years as the head man in charge at WMU. 30-22 record, 13-1 mark in berth in the Cotton Bowl last season. And after paying Western Michigan $600,000 to buy out his contract, he signed a 5-year, $18 million contract with Minnesota. I'm one of those guys that when you look at this story, I don't think it's as big of a deal as many people are making it to be. You know, there are some people out there that just like drama in the sports world, and they feed off of it, and they want to chastise P.J. Fleck because, yeah, he broke a rule, possibly broke a rule. He's contacting some of his former players and trying to recruit them at Minnesota. Is it wrong? Sure, without a doubt. It goes against the rules. You can't do that. You're trying to pick from the pot and pick from the house that you helped build and then decided to leave for another school for. So, no, you can't do that. But at the same time, I don't think the P.J. Fleck is the only coach in NCAA football that has tried to do this after taking a new job. All right, so I'm not surprised that it took place, and I do believe that if found guilty of it, P.J. Fleck should have to undergo some sort of punishment. But I don't think that it's as big of a deal as some people out there are making it. I think that Fleck is going to realize that, again, if he did do this, I got to keep throwing it out there. If he did do this and is found guilty, I think he'll move on and will focus on building the program at Minnesota the right way, which I think he will do. He's a great coach. Fleck is one of those guys that I think that whatever job that he was to take after Western Michigan, he was going to turn around whatever program he decided to go to. I think he's going to do a great job there. But, yeah, you can't do that. You can't try to woo players or try to take players from the former school that you used to coach at. You just can't do it. So we'll see how this thing plays out, but I think it's a bit overblown to a certain degree, Isaac.
Yeah, I mean, the team ran the gamut last year. They were about as good as any Western Michigan Bronco, row the boat football fan could have ever asked for. Yeah, you're not happy when these sorts of allegations come out against Fleck. At the same time, like you and I said yesterday, you take it with a grain of salt. This is somebody who's given back so much to the football program that, you know what, if he tried to steal one player, yeah, you can live with that.
All right, well, 4 minutes left in the show. Let's close out this week of Current Sports like we do each and every Friday, where we dub it Reflection Friday. We reflect on the week that has been here on Current Sports and beyond, bringing you some of our favorite moments, stories, interviews, and maybe bring up a few stories that we did not get a chance to highlight. Here we go. Well, for me, Isaac, I'm going to start off with some baseball news. I don't know if you saw this story, but David Price, former Detroit Tigers pitcher, Price is said to have a pretty serious elbow injury for the Boston Red Sox. Pretty serious. And, you know, now this isn't new when it comes to David Price having an injury during spring training, right? This has happened in the past, but this one seems to be a lot more serious. Price actually went on record of saying that, yeah, he's never felt something like this before. What makes this particularly interesting is we're talking about the Red Sox here. This is a team that, again, every single year is not satisfied with not getting to and winning a World Series. The expectations are high there. So with this being said, this could possibly be a Tommy John surgery. And what will this do for, again, a former Detroit Tigers man, Dave Dombrowski and the Boston Red Sox? I don't think this totally depletes that lineup because, again, you have guys like Rick Porcello and Chris Sale as number one and two to fill that void in the absence of Price. However, this will be a blow. I found that to be shocking news today.
It's a big deal. I'm going to reflect on the Golden State Warriors losing the first back-to-back games since 2015 for that team. And that's when they were pretty much just tanking anyway. They were not tanking, but, you know, tanking at the end of the season to make sure that nobody got hurt. Yeah, the Chicago Bulls last night took them to the wire and won. Jimmy Butler with some big shots. This guy, Paul Zipster or something like that for Chicago. Don't even know his name. He was off the chain last night. Made all the difference in the world. And boy, Chicago's really been playing well, actually, since the trade deadline. Looks like those were smart moves. And, dude, Andre Drummond, he's got to keep his cool in that game against the Pelicans. I've got to say, I don't hold a vendetta against Drummond or anything like that, but he single-handedly lost them that game. The Pistons were in control, rebounding and otherwise, until he went out. That was the difference maker.
For sure. I'm going to go high school for my next one. East Lansing, congratulations, ending the regular season undefeated. Steve Finnemore and company. Again, a crazy stat of 43 wins in the last 44 games for the Trojans. That is absolutely remarkable. Again, we've got a slew of games taking place locally when it comes to girls high school basketball district finals. I'll be out there covering it. Keep it locked to WKAR.org and Facebook.com/currentsports. And also, a huge congratulations to the boss lady. That's right. Susie Elkins has been named Director of Broadcasting and General Manager here at WKAR. Well deserved, yes. We will be honoring Susie later on here at the College of Communication Arts and Sciences here on the campus of Michigan State University at 3 p.m. Well-deserved. Susie has done a great job, and she will continue to do a great job in that role. That wraps up Current Sports for this week. We'll be back at it same time, same place on Monday. I'll be solo dolo. Have a great vacay, Isaac.
Thank you, sir.
Be easy, people.